This podcast may contain adult themes and triggering topics. Please be kind to yourself if you get triggered by what we discuss.
Also, this isn't a substitute for therapy or counseling. Please listen to the appendix at the end for some of our recommendations for resources that will help you find a qualified mental health care provider.
Now, we take you to a time in the near future where emotional abuse has been appropriately deemed a crime and the survivors find a home to reclaim their lives and freedom. This is Haven, and these are the stories of the reclaimers.
Tea?
Hey, Kari. Thank you for meeting me here.
I'm glad to meet you here, but...
I know, I just couldn't go back to that room. And Sonia's trauma, I'm still not in a place that I can... That makes me feel awful.
Is it guilt? Is that what you're feeling?
Maybe.
Is Frankie awake?
No, and they're not anticipating he will anytime soon. They've had to put him in stasis, overdosing like he did. It depleted his entire amygdala count, and his hippocampus has collapsed. He can't relearn any of his neural pathways, so he's just... Can we dig? I've got some rot here at the roots, and I'm worried it's because I haven't been here for a while.
Are you able to just dig it out?
No, but digging is how we start.
And then?
I have no idea.
VidCon search term, root rot oak tree.
What does it say?
It says that it's harder to treat in established trees, but it depends on the type of rot.
Okay, so...
Armillaria.
What's that?
The kind of rot this tree is infected with.
What's the treatment?
The only known cure is to remove the infected soil and then look for healthy roots to encourage and preserve. We'll need to prune away anything mushy.
Okay, so digging and then...
Truman, the only way we're going to find the roots is to be here with the tree. We can't avoid the problem. If we do and we don't dig, the rot can take the tree for good.
Are we still talking about the tree?
Don't play games, please. I need to be able to help. I can see in your eyes how much this hurts.
He's not a tree.
No, T, he's not. But you know how to care for living things. It doesn't matter if it's a tree or a brother. It hurts to see them in pain. It hurts to think he couldn't come to you or talk to you.
It hurts to think he wouldn't let himself have that help. After all the work we did, that the first family sesh with Addie and then all the follow-up...
Being close to him?
It's a dream come true. So this feels completely cruel. Why would time or fate or whatever give him back to me only to have him take it all away? We suffered enough losses with our abuser. Now this? Monumentally unfair.
You have every right to feel that way.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting the panic. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to trigger you.
It's all right. I can manage this trigger. I know this path. I know how to walk it and come back. But whatever path you're on, I'm worried that...
That I might not come back.
Yes. Please don't leave me here. I like the path we've created together. I want to keep building that path.
I do, too.
And I think it's okay to pause so we can dig because you care about this big living thing you love.
I haven't had it very long.
Tea, let's give the digging to the Haven Landscape team. They know what they're doing.
Abandon the tree?
No. Turn it over to the experts.
And then what? Go see Frankie?
Maybe. Or maybe we let Frankie see you. Maybe that's what you both need.
What if Sonia's there?
Then I'll talk with her while you tell Frankie all about the cure for root rot.
Wait, are we talking about actual root rot or...
Yes, you can tell him about actual root rot and let him figure out the metaphor on his own.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. Let's go call a transport.
Good. I think that this is best for... What is it?
Kari...
What, T?
What if Frankie never wakes up?
Then we will plan a funeral. And we will let him go. And we will cry and grieve. And maybe you'll take time off while I work to support us, or maybe you'll work a lot and I'll bring Gershie here every day. And we'll be sad. We'll be very, very sad. For a long time.
For a long time.
Yes. I know a little. Losing someone. Someone that you didn't think you could lose in just that way. Someone with complicated ties. And the deep, dark secret is that we will survive it. No one tells you how awful surviving it will be. But then, one day you'll smile. And a few days after that, you'll smile more. And what will seem like only moments after that, you'll find yourself laughing again, happy even. And surviving, and the awful, I believe in my heart, it will be worth surviving.
Will you be there?
Every step of every day, I will be there.
Then I believe you, that it will be worth it.
Truman?
Kari.
Say the thing again.
You're safe. With me.
I'm with you. And I'm safe.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you too. Shall we go?
I want to so much. And I can't.
Then let's just take a few steps.
Toward?
Each other. Let's walk together for a bit. Get you used to moving. We can stay in the Arboretum. Just walk and be together.
Thank you. I just can't go there right now.
Then we'll stay here.
Can we dig?
Yes. I think the oak needs us.
Me too.
Thank you for that.
And may I have your permission to read you for this session and this session only.
Proactive, huh?
Maybe I've taken to heart how hard you're trying to get me to feel comfortable with my telepathy.
Glad to hear it. And yes, you have my eager permission. Read me.
Okay. Thank you.
How have you been doing since our last session?
You're asking about Franklin.
Yes.
I'm all right.
Have you spoken with Sonia?
She won't let... She's in too much pain to talk right now.
I'm getting the despair.
I fear for her long-term mental health. She tends to take responsibility for things that aren't hers.
I can understand that. Sonia's a good friend. I imagine it's difficult to see her in pain.
Yes. Thank you. And your concern about how things are going with Feeny?
Tell me what made you choose that topic out of all the things I'm thinking.
It's the most persistent. And it has the most emotion around it. Am I okay to read your emotion, too?
Of course. That's part of your gift. This brings me to a topic I wanted to address today anyway.
The transparent thing.
Yes. Best practices recommend that I block my emotions. But as I've considered your needs, I think it would be best for me to be as transparent as possible. Would you like to read why?
You think it will help me build replacement and allow space for bonding between us.
I'll still keep emotions in check, and the sessions will still be about you and your needs. I just won't use a block.
Are you comfortable with that?
Yes. The only discomfort I've felt in sessions so far has been about how your abuser manipulated therapeutic techniques to shame you for reacting to his abuse. I haven't felt any discomfort surrounding your telepathy.
You mean that?
Yes, from my core. I think the people in your life who struggle with your telepathy are those who are trying to hide things themselves. Would you agree?
Huh. Maybe.
Let's make a list.
Been reading a lot of Feeny stuff this week, huh?
No. This is a device I learned from a mentor of mine.
All right. What list are we making?
Let's make a list of who you can trust.
Who I can trust?
Yes. In our first session a while ago, we made a list of who trusts you. That list was painfully short.
I think people don't trust me because...
Think?
Wait, you're using the word assume.
I believe you assume people don't trust you because of your gift.
And you think people don't trust me because...
It's okay to read me about this.
Because my gift threatens to reveal what they're hiding?
Kari was hiding her situation because she wanted to keep the hope that she could reconcile with her abuser. Could you trust that?
Could I trust a survivor?
Yes.
Are you sure that's a fair question?
What makes you ask that?
As her advo, do I need to trust her in order to work with her?
I'm not asking you to consider that trust through the power dynamic. I'm asking you to consider the shame you felt about using your telepathy on her behalf.
Okay, I get that. I guess no. I couldn't trust her.
Can you now?
Well, yes.
Why?
Because she's demonstrated that she can be trusted.
How?
She's doing things to actively protect herself from her abuser, I guess.
And how is she with your telepathy now?
She's fine with it. She encourages it, even.
Addie, how is she with your telepathy?
She teases about it, but she loves it.
Why?
It makes her feel seen.
And you can trust her?
Yes. She says what she thinks.
You've said that about Gramsci before, that you love that she said what she thought. Addie has that same quality?
Oh, yes. I was first attracted to Addie because she said what she thought. No pretense, no hiding.
What about Truman?
Rock solid trust.
Because you can read him?
No, I still can't read him.
Can he read you?
Not anymore.
But you trust him?
Yes.
Why?
Under scrutiny, even under fire, he made survivor safety the priority.
Sonia, you said in the inquiry you trusted her implicitly. The Empath Council confirmed you were telling the truth.
Yes, I trust her.
Why?
She did the work to make up for her mistake. She had the survivor's best interest at heart.
So all of these people you trust, do they trust you?
I want them to. I hope they can.
They all know about your telepathy and still, they trust you?
Yes.
What about Feeny? Oh,
I knew you were headed for him.
Because you read me earlier?
No.
Then why?
Because if I were the Advo, that's right where I'd go.
Oh, I like that. If Dr. Colossi were the Advo for Survivor Percy, the good doctor would want to talk about Feeny. Why?
I guess it's because that's where my... primary issues with trust seem to live right now. I'm scared about all the distance we've felt over the years. I was terrified that my blocks would make him go away and make him not want to be my friend.
But he stayed. Why?
I'm not sure.
What's that bundle about?
About... I've never really known why he stayed. I know the blocks were difficult for him to handle. I know that he was hurt by the times I walled things off with him.
So people leave when they're hurt?
I don't know that I would... I think people leave because of their own reasons.
You think? What do you feel?
I feel completely responsible for when people leave.
Your parents?
I have no way to know.
What did they say was the reason they were leaving?
They didn't.
They didn't tell you they were leaving?
They did. They said goodbye. But they said to mind Gramsci and then left.
Who told you they weren't coming back?
I read Gramsci. She was sad after an e-call, and I read that it was them, and that she was sad because she worried how to tell me that they weren't coming back.
And you never discussed it?
She did tell me they weren't coming back.
She said what she thought.
Yes.
They left. They didn't tell you they were leaving for good. Gramsci had to tell you they weren't coming back.
Yes.
And you never blamed yourself?
I did.
Did you blame yourself when Gramsci died?
No. Yes.
She didn't tell you she was leaving.
Don't really know a lot of people who go telling everyone in their life that they're about to die of natural causes.
Your abuser left.
Sort of.
Topher delivered the recordings of your abuser's training sessions.
Oh. Yeah. He asked if you could listen to them.
The last one, at the encampment. He didn't just send you away, Persephone. He made it clear that he wasn't emotionally present anymore. He made it clear that he'd been gone from his role as father figure for some time before that moment.
I guess.
That brings tears to your eyes.
Yes. Even after all the work I've done on putting that moment in perspective, even after discussing it with Alcorn and Wesley and then Addie and Beanie.
You've never discussed it with me.
Well, you've never asked.
I'm asking now.
What exactly are you asking?
I'm asking about whether or not you blame yourself for his going away.
Oh, that.
Yes, that.
I do. I blame myself.
Parents, Gramsci, abuser. And Feeny never left.
Yeah. Shouldn't that worry me about his sanity?
You think he should have left?
It's clear that my hiding my pain, that it hurt him. He was hurt by the lies I told.
When you told him the whole story, what did you read from him?
I read that he was intensely relieved.
Relieved, huh?
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
Huh.
I felt that insight shift. Are you willing to share it?
Yeah, I think he was relieved that it wasn't his fault.
He felt responsible for your blocking him?
A little.
Was he?
No, not at all. That was my responsibility.
You mentioned that he felt responsible for the fight.
Yeah. I feel awful that he carried that for so long.
So maybe he just stayed because he wanted to resolve the fight?
What are you getting at, Nina?
I want to know why Feeny stayed, and I think you already have the answer.
He's a good friend.
That's part of it.
I don't know what it is we're... Can you do that truth thing again?
I'd be happy to. Take a breath.
Okay.
Why did Feeny stay, Persephone?
I'm on the short list of people he trusts.
Why?
Because I allowed him access.
To what?
To me, to my thoughts and feelings.
He stayed because he liked being close and you allowed him to be close?
Wow.
What's the surprise about?
He likes being close.
And you like keeping him close.
I do.
You're good for each other then. It's symbiotic and...
healthy. Balanced. We both get our needs met.
So you met his needs even when you had to keep blocks up to protect him.
As much as I could.
Do trust and meeting needs have something to do with one another?
Yes. Yes, they do. Feeny lets me be there for him, and he's there for me. We meet each other's needs, and that's why we can trust each other.
And the others? The others that you trust and that trust you?
Yes. We meet each other's needs. There's balance.
And where that balance doesn't exist?
There's not trust.
Why?
Because an imbalance opens the door for manipulation or resentment.
Yes.
Incredible.
What?
Feeny knew this. All along, he understood this. We based every mission statement and pillar at the Haven on meeting needs and building trust. Doing so with consent and respect, but everything the Haven stands for is about balance in meeting needs.
What a wonderful thing to see.
About the Haven?
Yes, and about your best friend. You, Percy, despite all the abandonment you've survived, you've allowed yourself to invest in a long-term friendship that is balanced and healthy. That's something to be proud of.
Oh.
Let's pull a mantra out of that. I'm getting the struggle to believe it.
Okay. The mantra can be balanced and healthy. And yes, I'll put it in the Haven app, and yes, I'll say it to myself even when I don't believe it.
That's the pain in the ass know-it-all I love so much.
I didn't intend it to come across as... I just appreciate the work you do in session to help guide me, and I figure the least I can do is pick up the stuff I do know.
You don't owe me anything, Percy. I love working with you. And seeing you move from insight to insight is wonderful, yes. But I'd love working with you even without the insights or tools.
Are you saying there's balance here too?
Yes. You get a lot out of working with survivors, don't you?
Yes, I do.
This is reciprocal. I get a lot out of witnessing you heal.
Thank you for that.
I'm honored. Thank you for your vulnerability and willingness to work.
I'm going to head over to meet Gold now. Same time next week.
I'm not going anywhere.
Subtle, Nina. I like it.
See you next week.
Truman, are you okay?
Yes. I'm sorry I drifted. The past few days have been a little off.
I heard something, and I'm not sure how to bring it up.
However, you need to bring it up. I'm here for it.
This is about you, though. Your personal life.
Oh, that. It can be really tricky to hear about that.
Oh, Truman, I'm so sorry. I don't know what to say when something like this happens.
I'm getting that bundle. Wanting to let me know you care, that's... I appreciate the care, Jenna. And I appreciate how difficult that was for you to raise that topic.
I just... didn't want to make you cry.
Oh, I'm pretty good at crying.
Oh.
I'm getting that bundle. Will you tell me about it?
But this isn't Little Flock.
I'm...
a watchman. Well, not, but if you were in Little Flock, you'd be a...
Men have specific roles and different cultural requirements in Little Flock.
Yes, cultural. That was the word I needed. Thank you.
What are the requirements for men that you would have to keep in mind?
Well, men aren't supposed to cry, and I'm... women and girls in general, we aren't supposed to give them a reason to.
So, bringing up anything that might make me cry would be...
it would be my fault if you cried.
Do you hear the manipulation in that requirement?
Manipulation. I know I didn't like it. I hated that my ex... abuser had to be so emotionally distant.
The cultural requirement essentially makes you responsible for a man's emotions. His whole emotional field somehow becomes your fault, your responsibility.
That's true. I never realized that, but I think I always knew it on some level. No wonder I hated it.
Speaking of, now I have something difficult to talk about.
I was wondering if you'd bring it up.
Will you tell me what the VidCon meant?
I was excommunicated.
What does that mean?
I am no longer a member of Little Flock, or of my church, or of my family.
They excommunicated you from your family? Because you told the truth?
It was all of my actions. Everything I did led here.
Do you believe this is your fault?
I believe they see it that way.
Jenna... the Haven trial and intake teams met with the Empath Council last night about your case. They've ruled that this latest communication is abusive. So they won't be letting any other communications through from Little Flock.
It won't matter now.
Why?
They won't ever send me anything again. I'll never hear from them.
Jenna, the pain that brings up.
I lost my family and community. It's no surprise to lose my religion, too.
It's a monumental loss. The ache that produces is... it's terrible. I grieve with you.
I made you cry anyway.
Yeah, well, I made you cry. Only fair, right?
I know the tool I should use.
You do?
Yeah. I should use replacement here. We need a new family.
Are you in an emotional place where you feel like you can do that?
No. I want to be. I wish I could replace them as easily as they replaced me.
Oh, Jenna. I am so, so sorry. You don't deserve this pain.
I have so many words that keep popping up in my head. Words that I wish I could say to them.
What are the words?
I can't say them. It's too hard, and writing them, I get foggy. Ever since the trial ended,
It's called trauma mind, and it takes some space and time to process.
I've had space and time. I've done that. I've been here for 2 years now.
Yes, and the trial didn't start until a year into your time here. It took time to arrest your abusers, and then it took time to work through who all was involved. The time you've given and work you've done have been incredible. And we have to acknowledge that events are going to happen along a separate timeline from your healing. Have you read about radical acceptance?
Yes. I've never tried it.
What if we try it now?
How?
Well, a mantra that's worked for others in your situation is, I can't change the past. How does it feel inside you when you say that mantra?
I can't change the past. I can't change the past. It's true. I can't.
I felt that release.
Yes. I don't feel better, but it doesn't feel so heavy now. How does that work?
Abusers want you to ruminate. They want to make everything your fault.
Oh, right. Blame shifting.
Yes. Also called projection.
Right. Yes. I've read about those.
When you take on the blame, take on their projection, you're taking on something that can't be fixed. So your brain ruminates about what you did wrong, about how you should have done things. And there's no way to change or fix things now that all the events are over.
I can't change the past.
Yes. There's some power behind it now.
Because they can't change my future, and they're angry about that.
They?
The Watchmen, my abusers. They're angry. I made them feel emotion.
Made them?
Yeah. What I did caused them emotion. They're feeling angry, and they can't do anything about it. So they want to make me feel bad about myself. Not about what I did, but about who I am. This isn't even about me. It's about their choices, and now they have consequences, and they're angry. So they're trying to get me to feel bad. This isn't even about me.
Janet, do you hear that mantra?
This isn't even about me. That makes me angry. They used me.
Yes, they did.
But still, this isn't even about me. And even if I could change the past, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't.
Not for all the excommunications in the world. This is going to be painful, and I'm going to miss the good times I had, but this isn't about me. And even if I could, I wouldn't change anything I did. Not one single thing.
I am blown away. This is amazing work, Jenna.
Yeah. Hey, can we stop here? I want to go tell Rosie about this.
Yes, we can. Say it one more time. I want to hear you say it again.
They don't get to take this from me, because it is not about them anymore.
Wow. Thank you.
And thank you, Truman. I'll see you next time.
Hey, it's Percy Anfini here. What you've just heard is a work of fiction.
but we know that many listeners are living in a world of pain that isn't fictional at all.
At the end of every episode, we're going to include an appendix of sorts. Some things we hope will serve those who live with a reality of fear and pain every day.
First, we want to let you know about our website, www.empowering.tools, where we keep an ongoing list of books, websites, hotlines, and many other resources for victims and survivors of toxic relationships.
Second, we love to hear from you. If you'd like to share your story with us or let us know how the episode impacted you, we'd love for you to reach out. These are deeply emotional things, and we want to give you a chance to share. We're a small team, so an in-depth response isn't always possible, but we do read every message we receive.
Third, if you're in crisis or you need to find an immediate way out, please call 800-799-7233 for the National Domestic Abuse Hotline. If your abuser is a parent or a non-romantic relationship, there are other resources we've listed on the website that are just for you.
A reminder, emotional violence is still violence. You don't need to have bruises on your body to deserve help, and it's okay to feel what you're feeling when you call.
Fourth, be safe. For some, getting out will take planning and time. If you know you need help, do what you need in order to safely get away.
Lastly, we know how difficult it can be to believe there's hope on the other side of a toxic relationship.
Many on our team know the devastatingly difficult steps it takes to get away from an abusive predator.
But there is hope. You don't have to do it alone. If you don't have supportive family or friends, you can still find support at the hotlines we mentioned earlier or at a local hospital or shelter.
Thousands of survivors have made it out. Getting out and reclaiming your freedom can be your story.
We believe in you.
We believe in your future.
And we believe in your right to that freedom.